Huh?
New Jerusalem.
Is that New Jerusalem up there? Well, the reason I'm talking to you all up there, I will read in the beginning from Revelation, and later in the message I will read from 2 Peter. So you'll just have to pick that up in a little bit. All right? We're going to talk about time's up. Did you ever hear that when we were out playing and kids? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Time's up. I'm coming, ready or not. That could be right out of the book if you think about it. Well, while you're thinking about it, you're going to be blessed because one of my favorite singers on earth is going to sing right now. That's Duran.
Steady hand will lead me on and on.
we have to have, my brothers and sisters, that we're going to make it no matter what. From the revelation, and by the way, that doesn't have an S on the end of it. It's not revelations. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. And if you look in the Bible, that's what it says. And if you look in some Bibles, it's going to say the revelation of St. John the Divine. Those are man-made words. This is not a revelation of John. It's not a revelation by John, but it's the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's the revealing of Jesus Christ to this earth. And that's the whole theme of Revelation. It's not there to tell you about monsters and all the things that I once concentrated on when I was first saved and before I was saved. But what it is, my brothers and sisters, it's Christ is going to be revealed from heaven in clouds of power and great glory, and he's going to take over this planet and run the devil into hell, and everything's going to work out all right. Amen? Give God a hand. Hallelujah. And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head. And his face was, as it were, the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot on the sea and his left foot on the earth. He owns it all. And cried with a loud voice as when a lion roareth. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven, by the way, his right hand, and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven, and the things that are, and the earth, and the things that are therein, and the sea, and the things that are therein, that there should be time no longer. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall be sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he has declared to his servants, the prophets. Praise be unto God for the reading and the hearing of his precious and of his eternal word. Hallelujah. Well, I have to tell you, years ago in the 50s, Granny was holding a tent meeting, a little place called Taylorsville down in McDowell County, West Virginia. And there was a little old boy got in with us. He was already saved, but I'm telling you, he was a jumping jack in church. His name was Rush Justice. And Rush, I tell you what, Robert Lawson, we always had to look out for Robert because if he's playing the piano, he'd play about halfway through and then he'd get happy and jump up and dance all over the church. Well, Rush would get happy in the pulpit, and we had an altar rail around then in the old church, and I could see his feet start, and all at once he'd sail over the altar. We had two aisles in the church, down that aisle and out on the sidewalk and back in the other door. And when he came back up, he cleared the altar on the way back and went to dancing. But he would sing a song called Time is Winding Up. Time, 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 time is winding up. Destruction's in the land. God's going to move his hand. Time is winding up. And then the verses would say, go and warn your children that time is winding up. Go warn your neighbors that time is winding up. Well, brothers and sisters, I've got something to tell you. That's a true song. It may have been loud and boisterous and carried away, but I have to tell you, it's the truth. Time is winding up. It's funny about human beings. They don't want to believe that. They want to believe they just can go on forever and ever and ever. You know, once the standard doctrine of the church and of the world was that the world was flat. Not only was it flat, it was square. And the earth was here and everything was up over it. There was kind of a dome over it. That was the standard doctrine. And if you didn't believe that or say that, you could be killed. You could be put out of the church. You could have a lot of things happen to you. And so men held on to that. And it's kind of sad. These were Christian men, 1,600 years, I guess, almost into Christianity. And they're reaching back to Socrates and Plato and Aristotle and getting their ideas about how the earth was. And those people didn't know squat. It was all philosophy. It wasn't anything proved or anything. So men believed that. They held on to it. They did everything in the world to prove that the earth was flat. And of course, they took the good book and they did that too. They looked in the Bible and said, see, says the earth has four corners. So it says that. It says the four corners of the earth. It says that. And I remember one day a teacher asked me, he said, could I talk to some student? I said, why? He said, well, he stood up in class this morning and said, no, he didn't believe the earth was round because the Bible said. Now, that was in Giles High School in, what, the 60s. And he was standing up defying his teacher because of what he believed. People believed that the earth was flat and square. Well, thank God for, what was his name, Copernicus and some other people that came up and proved that the earth was round, that the sun and the whole thing that it revolved around was they thought we were the center of the universe. The earth was here, and in concentric circles around it was the sun and the moon and the stars and everything else, and everything else was moving around us. Everything centered on us. So they lost sight of the sun being the center of the world and of our universe. They lost sight of the fact that everything we had and did went toward the sun. They thought that the sun was just there for whatever. They got up in the morning, it went over like this, and that was the end of it. They didn't know. They assumed that. And they made all kinds of notions to explain why the earth was the center of the universe and the sun was just out there somewhere, and they lost sight of the sun. Brothers and sisters, that is exactly what our society and people have done. They have lost sight of the sun. They think that we are the center of the universe. We come up with this idea, and we have all of these self-help people and all of these gurus to teach us that, hey, I'm number one. I remember one night I nearly scared them to death over at the Methodist Church in Pembroke. They asked me to preach in a revival, and I sat in the back seat. That was when Cassius Clay, Muhammad Ali, was being a big deal in boxing. And I was sitting in the back of the church, and the preacher said, Eddie, don't you want to come on up to the pulpit? I said, oh, I'll be up when it's time to preach. And so when time to preach came, I leaped out of the back seat, ran up the aisle as fast as I could possibly run, cleared all the steps into the pulpit, and hit the ground preaching. And when I hit the ground, what I was saying was, I am the greatest. You remember that, don't you, if you're old enough to remember? I'm really dating myself. Nobody remembers who Cassius Clay is. They remember who Muhammad Ali is, but that was his deal. I am the greatest. I am number one. There's nobody like me. I'm it. And I quoted him as I hit the ground preaching in the church. And the whole deal is that we actually think that. Oh, we don't get up and say it like Muhammad did. We don't get up and do that kind of thing. But in our heart of hearts, we think the world revolves around us. And you've probably met some people that it was pretty obvious they felt the world revolved around them. And if you didn't revolve with them, you were on the outside. Well, what we have done is we have forgot the sun. He is the center of the universe. If you listen to that scripture in the 10th chapter of the Revelation, when this angel comes down from heaven, whom I am pretty sure is the Lord Jesus Christ, himself because he claims the earth and the sea. His head is surrounded by a rainbow. His voice is like the voice of thunder and a lion roaring. His feet are like fire, and I've seen that description of Christ somewhere else in the Revelation, and he's identified as Christ, and he's come down from heaven, he's laid claim to the earth, and he is going to get his rightful place, folks. He is going to become the king of the universe, who he belongs to be. Now, Satan's biggest lie, Satan ever told you, you know what it is? You got plenty of time. You don't have to worry about a thing. You're healthy. You're young. You got the world by the tail. You could do anything with it you want. How many of us ever been there? How many of you ever lost your hold on it and found out you didn't control it and you didn't have it? Well, this is what we do. We think that we have everything going our way, and Satan tells us that we've got plenty of time. There's an old allegory. It's not true, of course, but it illustrates the point that when Jesus was down here on earth and ascended back to heaven and went into heaven, they talked to him about it, and they looked down, and the devil was working on the people. And he was training little devils. Boy, I'm glad this is an allegory, not the truth, because there are no little devils. They're all just big, black as hell and going there. But he's training little devils and to go out in the world and deceive the world. And he asked one of them what he would do, and he said, I'll go out and tell them there's no God. He said, you won't win. They know somewhere in their heart there's a God. He said, I'll tell them the Bible. Another one said, I'll tell them the Bible's not the truth. He said, you won't win. Said, somewhere down the road it proves itself, and they know that the Bible is right, and they have to stand by it. And then one of them came up, and he was the winner. He was number one. He said, I'll tell them they've got plenty of time. That's all Satan has to do is get you to procrastinate. That's all he has to do is to get you to put it off. Well, don't pray today. Don't fast today. Don't move up with God today. Don't live better today. You've got plenty of time. Things are going to work out. You're going to have time. You don't know whether you have another second or not. I hear people say, oh, you're not promised tomorrow. Honey, you're not promised noon today. I mean, you don't know where it's going. And the only thing that you can do about it is to be ready. But Satan has convinced people that they don't have to be in a panic about it. They've got time. They can wait. Well, you know, I hear this one all the time. When I get my life straightened out, then I'm going to come to God. Honey, without God, you don't have a chance of getting straightened out. God is the only one that can work with you and get your life straightened out. If you're going to wait till you get everything perfect and everything in order, you're just going to hell. You might as well go on and jump in, because you're not going to get it done. It's not going to happen. You are a human being. You're born of Adam. You have a curse of sin on your life. You cannot get your life together without God. And I know it's admirable to turn over a new leaf, to reform yourself, to quit your bad habits, to do all of that. But when it comes to salvation, my friend, if you could turn over a new leaf, if you could do something to save yourself without God, then Jesus did not have to come and die on the cross. But because he is the only way to heaven. Amen. The cross is the only way to forgiveness. The blood is the only antidote for sin. And God himself is the architect of salvation for men's souls and lives. And that's the only way you can be saved. You cannot be saved by your own goodness. If you could, Jesus would not have had to die. And Jesus Christ himself went into the garden and prayed and said, Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. And the Father said, no, it's not possible. And he went back and he prayed again. And he's desperate. Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. No, it's not possible. You say, God answered all of Jesus' prayers. Yes, he did. And some of them were in the negative. Some of them God said no. And Jesus prayed a third time. And he's so intense watching Calvary come, watching the sin of the world descend on his shoulders, he who had never committed one sin in his life. And all of that, and he's so desperate that his sweat became his great drops of blood. And I believe for you medical people, he had petechia, and that blood had come out of the capillaries and into the sweat and was dripping down his face. How horrid he must have looked when he came out of there. What an intense pain of heart and soul he must have been having. And he went all the way to Calvary. He did it. Because the third time that he asked, it wasn't just no, but there was a no, there's not going to happen. And the third time, finally, Christ says what? Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. And he gives himself for us to be saved. Now, if it had been possible any other way, he wouldn't have had to have done that. He wouldn't have had to have gone. We just, you know, quit smoking and chewing and dipping and running with them that do, and what holiness people used to say and all that kind of thing. We just reformed ourselves. But we don't have reformation in us. We don't have enough reformation in us to save us and to redeem us and to bring us home. We have to have God. But Satan will say, well, that's all right, but don't get all worked up about it. Don't be running up there to that altar and crying and carrying on in front of all them people. Don't be doing all that. You're going to be fine. You'll work it out. Maybe you can go to a counseling class somewhere. And, you know, then some atheist from some college gets up and tells you all the answers to your life. My friend, he cannot forgive your sins. He cannot redeem your life. He cannot give you the power of God in your life to change your life. But only Christ can give that. But people pretend that it's not true. It's called playing the ostrich, isn't it? Putting your head in the sand and not looking at what's coming. Listen, when I drive down the road, I figure out what's coming up ahead by the signs that are along the way. I see people that ignore them. My favorite is we come down the road and there's a sign and it says, left lane closed. You would think everybody get in the right lane. But they don't. They get in the left lane and then they ball up the whole thing and cause you nearly to wreck or to wreck. I mean, you see it all the time. But when I drive down the road and I see a sign that says left lane closed, then I get in the right lane. If it says the right lane's closed, I immediately get in the left lane. And then here comes Whizbanger by me. Because he wants to get ahead of me. He don't believe it. And then when he gets up there, there's no place to go. Isn't that the way it is? Yeah. Well, I tell you, I've been traveling down this life and looking at the signs by the side of the road. And the signs that I've been looking at say Jesus is coming soon. The signs I've been looking at say that this world is going to end. The signs I've been noticing along the way says get in the right lane because the rest of the lanes are going to hell and only this straight and narrow way is going to heaven. Hallelujah. I'm thankful today that God has given us. But we cannot ignore the signs. I mean, all I have to do is pick up the paper and look at Washington, D.C.'s notices. And I'll say, oh, God, the end of time's here for sure. But you know what really turns my trick when I look at the paper? When I see that there's never an edition of the morning paper or the news that comes out that don't have something to say about Jerusalem, that don't have something to say about Israel. That's one of the signs along the way I've been looking for, is when Israel becomes a nation, when they stand on their own, when Jerusalem is no longer trod down by the Gentiles. Go back and read it, folks. Go back and look at it. But you know what? God sent a preacher named Noah to preach to the people in about 2000, well, in the year of creation, 2000, of the world for man. And men were wicked and vile and ungodly. And God sent a man named Noah. He must have been powerful. And Noah preached 120 years. I got a ways to go. Noah preached 120 years. And Noah built an ark as big as all outdoors, biggest structure probably on earth at the time. And people heard his preaching and people saw his ark. And you know what Jesus said? And they did not know until the flood came and took them away. You know why? Because they didn't want to believe that it was going to end. They did not want to believe that this was going to be the end of it. And they said, well, it's never had a flood before. Fact is, we've never had a drop of rain. We've never had a shower. And Noah's saying, it's going to rain, children, it's going to rain. Noah's saying, it's going to flood. Water's going to come up from the aquifers under the earth. And water's going to come down from the atmosphere and crash on the earth. And every single living creature above water is going to drown in this flood unless they're in the ark. And people drowned never knowing it was coming in spite of 120 years of preaching. People did not believe that it was going to happen. There was a fellow named Lot who made some really bad choices in life. He chose the easy road and he chose the prosperous road. And his uncle Abraham talked to him and taught him about the Lord. And Lot believed in the Lord. Lot cared about the Lord. But when it came to a choice, whether I'm going to live up here in the hills or I'm going to live down here next to Sodom and Gomorrah, he chose the cities of the plain. He chose the world. He chose what was going on down there. He didn't join it when he moved down there. He just moved his sheep and his donkeys and his camels and whatever he had and his family onto the outskirts. But it was close enough that they were affected by it. And one day, angels of God walked through the gates of Sodom and he saw them and he said, hey, boys, why don't you all go home? He didn't know who they were. They were just two good-looking men that walked through the door to the gate of Sodom. And he said, why don't you go home with me? I'll get my wife to cook supper and we'll entertain you for the night. He said, no, we'll go to a hotel. There's a Motel 8 down the road or something. He said, no, you're coming home with me. And he comes home with them and they tell him, we're angels of God. We have come to destroy these cities. This place is going to burn in the morning. In the morning, there's going to be fire and brimstone fall out of heaven and going to burn up the five cities of the plain. And all of this is going to be burned up and we've got to get out of here. Do you have any more people in your family besides these two girls and your wife, Lot? Well, yeah, I got some married kids and in-laws and grandchildren out here in Sodom and Gomorrah. He said, well, go warn them. So Lot goes and warns them and he tells them, the angels of God are here. The angels of God have warned me that the destruction is going to come and fire and brimstone are going to fall and burn this place up. And everybody that's caught in it is going to be burned in the morning if they don't get out. And Lot went to his family and you know what the Bible said? They thought he was making a joke. They thought it was funny. They thought it was stupid. They made fun of him. They ridiculed him. They looked down on him. And in the morning, it came time to go. And the angel said to them, we won't go into all that thing about the men of Sodom wanting to have sex with the angels of God because they were good-looking men. We'll just forget that for right now. But I want you to know that all them people burned up. But let me tell you. The angel said, we got to go. It's time. We've got to go. Do they believe it? No. The angels have to literally grab a hold of Lot's wife, Lot's daughters, and Lot, and pull them out of the city. Why? Because they believe it's not the time. They don't think it's going to happen to them. They don't think it can happen to them. And finally, the angels get them outside the city, and they said, run! Run as hard as you can run. And don't look back, because if you do, you're going to be turned to a pillar of salt. Somebody said, I don't believe that story. Call Jesus a liar if you want to. But Jesus said, remember Lot's wife. And Lot ran, and his daughters ran. And his wife looked back, and instantly she was solidified into a pillar of salt. And she was there when the fire fell and the brimstone came down, and it burned them up. And just like the angel said, they were burned up by the judgment of God. Children of Israel didn't believe it. Jeremiah the prophet was walking through the streets of Jerusalem, walking through the streets of Israel, and he was crying, literally tears running down his cheeks, and he's crying and he's yelling that you've got to repent. You've got to come back to God. If you don't, God's going to turn Nebuchadnezzar on you. God's going to let the walls of defense around your country down, and the Assyrians are going to come down, and the Babylonians are going to come down, and they're going to burn your houses. They're going to tear down your cities. They're going to burn your temple. They're going to take your wives and daughters captive and rape them and ravish them. They're going to take your sons, and they're going to make slaves out of them. And the ones they don't, they're going to kill, and they're going to destroy this land. And everybody's saying, that crazy old coot, don't he know that we're the sons of Abraham? Don't he know that we have become a great people of God, and we have a temple, and we have priests, and we have sacrifices, and we are the religious people of the world? Don't he know that? God is certainly not going to do that to us. They believed they had plenty of time. They believed nothing was going to happen, didn't they? And what happened? One time they put Jeremiah down in a pit. One time they captured him, took him to Egypt. I mean, he had a hard time over it. And God told him, said, they won't believe you. He said, just let your head be like a flintstone. Don't pay any attention to it at all. Wow. Wow. Can you believe that people would be so stupid they would not listen to God? Well, New Testament times, it's no different, really. Let's read from 2 Peter. I am not going to fall. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God, the heavens that were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and the perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that therein shall be burned up. Praise be unto God for the reading and hearing of his precious and his eternal word. Scoffers will come and say, And I had an elected official say to me one day, said, "The coming of the Lord, the coming of the Lord." That's all that preacher's saying down there in the church. "The coming of the Lord." And he was an old man. Said, "Well, they've been preaching that ever since I was a kid. I've heard that all my life, the coming of the Lord. And the Lord's not here yet. The Lord's not coming and doing anything like that." He just fulfilled the scripture, didn't he? He just fulfilled the scripture. Brothers and sisters, the day of the Lord will come. Isn't that what he says? The day of the Lord will come. Scoffers are mocking at it. People are hooting at it, like they didn't believe the earth was round. People, they're the center of the universe. It's their philosophy that matters. It's what they think and what they do that matters. Brothers and sisters, the day of the Lord will come. Don't count. You say, "Well, it's been a long time." Yeah. Why do you think God waited 120 years while Noah was building an ark and let him preach 120 years to those antediluvians? Because of his mercy. That's what it says there. His mercy endureth forever. Their sin was great, but God gave them 120 years to repent. He gave them opportunity to repent. Don't think that God is weak or slack or just... He's not an old fuddy-duddy sitting around in heaven twiddling his thumbs and saying, "Well, I'm bored today. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't think I'll send any fire and judgment just now." Don't you think that about God? He hasn't aged one bit. He's not sick. He's not afflicted. He's not on medicine. He doesn't need Medicare or Medicaid. He is fine. And God Almighty, my friend, is going to do what he says he's going to do. And when it happens, the day of the Lord will come. And somebody said, "Well, I don't know if I believe that or not." Well, let me tell you who does believe it. The saints in heaven. The saints in heaven believe it. They're sitting under the altar. And you know what they said to the Lord? "How long? How long, O Lord? How long? How long will it be until you come? Until this is over? How long will it be until you bring to pass the mystery of godliness on the earth?" The Lord says, "Give them a crown. And tell them to wait a little longer." Now, we used to sing, "Wait a little longer, please Jesus. There's so many wandering out in sin." But in heaven, God is saying to the saints under the altar, "Wait a little longer. There are more people to be saved. But when your brethren have come, then it will come to pass that it'll be over." They believe, those who have died and gone to heaven, believe that the time is near. One more thing. Do you know who else believes that it's short time? Who? Oh, you've been reading a book. The devil himself. The devil himself believes that he has but a short time to work. "Therefore, woe unto the inhabitants of the earth, for the devil has come down to you and has great wrath. He is mad as a hornet. His days are numbered." He can see hell fire coming. I don't understand hell. It wasn't created for you. It wasn't created for human bodies. It was created for the devil and his angels and their spirits. You're out of place if you go to hell. It wasn't created for you. But I have to tell you, the devil and all of his imps know for sure that the time is short. And what does he say? He's running to and fro in the earth. What's he looking for? Human beings seeking whom he may devour. Satan is loose on the earth. Somebody said, "The devil's in hell." How I wish. How I wish. But I know I saw him in Pembroke this week. And you know, I think he was in Nairs. And I know he was in D.C. And he's in Hollywood. And he's in Nashville. You say, "Really?" Yeah. And he's running in overtime. He's moving as fast as he can to take, he can't stop hell. It's going to happen. And he knows it. He can't stop eternity turning its wheels and coming around. It's going to happen. What he can do is drag every soul created in the image of God down to a burning hell with him to be destroyed for eternity. And you say, good Lord, he's preaching hell, fire, and damnation. You got it. You got it. Don't believe the lie. Don't think that time is not going to run out. My friend, time. Rush, time is winding up. Destruction's in the land. God's going to move his hand. Time is winding up. And we sing a song that maybe we need to add to that. Jesus getting us ready for that great day. Who will be able to stand? Would you stand? Father, in the precious, glorious, and wonderful name of Jesus, we pray that the Holy Ghost will convict our hearts. Convict the hearts of those who listen by radio and who listen on CDs and on the World Wide Web. Oh God, let your Spirit move. Let the Holy Spirit of God convict people's hearts and let them recognize that they do not have time to burn. They do not have time to spare. But Jesus is coming. Oh Father, let your Spirit draw us into the place that we can repent. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing.